And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got several text messages already. We'll take a few of those. You want to text it in or call it in, same number for both, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. I'm going to want your input. So Lee from Owens Crossroads, she says... Phil, this is Lee from Owens Crossroads. Why do you think this, okay, it's totally off subject, but okay. She says, why do you think the Senate won't take up the lottery bill? We're losing $1 billion a year to neighboring states. We could stop. There's not a lottery bill, Lee. There's no lottery bill in front of them. There's a massive omnibus gambling bill that includes monopolies for casinos, sports gaming, on your phones and internet. And, oh, by the way, they're going to put a lottery in there because they think the people want that more. So they're trying to mix it all in so you'll vote for the lottery and they'll get all the rest of the stuff with it. So if you want a lottery, you need to tell your legislators, quit trying to pretend that what you've got is a lottery bill. Tell them you want a lottery bill, period. That's the only way it's going to pass. I'll be honest with you. That's the only way it's going to pass. Keith from Parts Unknown says, American by birth, Southern by the grace of God, a once popular saying is now gone or tabooed. Southern pride has been PC destroyed. No, dude, I'm saying bring it. I am absolutely for that. American by birth, Southern by the grace of God. I like living in the South. I am not, and I know you do too, Keith, but I am not at all. If somebody says, where are you from? Alabama. Not a bit worried about it. So you know what? Southern pride, I say go for it. Allie from Athens says, so God bless and keep us from the fate of Winston Smith. Woo. Yep. There's some scary stuff there. John from Huntsville says, Phil, fantastic monologue. And then he asked me the question, like he always does this. Phil, fantastic monologue, chase a rabbit.
I think he does research. Like he has like a topic every day.
Yeah, he's ready. I think I've noticed too with John, if you watch, John, we're figuring you out, man. His text messages pop in right as we're coming back on the air.
Yep.
So they'll be on top of the queue. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah.
We're wise to you, John from Huntsville. Anyway, he says, Phil, fantastic monologue. Did you hear that Trump and Biden are both supposedly heading down to the Mexican border at the same time? Just wanted to say I really like all the topics on today's Triple Dipper lineup because I know there should be a lot of fun, interesting text on the text line. Yes, there should, man. And yes, I did hear they're both heading down to the border. I got to thinking what a hoot it would be if they ran into each other, although they won't. They're going to know exactly where each other is, and they're going to avoid each other like the plague. I think the irony is, John, to chase that rabbit for a minute, the irony here is that Democrats, including Biden and his staff, have said that Republicans going down to the southern border is nothing but a photo op political stunt. And yet here he goes. Wow. Just trying to prove he's doing stuff. You know, even this morning, Charlene pointed out to me that that Biden had the audacity to say, I've been saying for 10 years that the border's messed up. No, you haven't. For the love, 10 years, you've been president for three of those, and it's been jacked up ever since you took office. So, no, you don't get to play those games with us. You're allotted your opinion. You are not allotted your own version of the facts. So we see through that.
To be fair, he doesn't know what's going on.
There is that. John from Harvest says, tyrannies will continue trying to distort the past. If left unchecked and uncorrected, you end up with people eventually accepting that Oceania has always been at war with Eastasia. Phil, keep up the good fight. Thank you, John. Appreciate you, man. And then JT from Lacey Springs. He says, born in the South is good. Born in Bama by the grace of God. Hey, yeah. There you go. Born and bred and proud of it. And boy, I tell you what, I can still remember I was actually sitting on, I think I was vice chair of a committee in the Senate, and we were debating the immigration reform bill because, you know, Alabama was ahead of our time. We had our own immigration reform bill in like 2011. It was called the Beeson-Hammond Act. You can look it up. And it immediately went to court because how dare we? All we were basically doing is saying, hey, federal government, if you won't do your job, we'll do it for you. But I'll never forget sitting there in a committee, and this activist who claimed to be from Texas said, it was her chance to testify before the committee. And she said, I just want to say, when I moved here from Texas, I told my friends that, like, you know, I was moving to Alabama and they said, oh, don't do it. It's a racist state. I said, no, no, it's not. Surely not. And now I see this legislation and I know that it was right. It was a racist state. And brother, I'm going to tell you right now, it was all I could do. I slapped my hand on the table. The whole room snapped around to see what I was doing. And I wasn't the chairman. So I said, Mr. Chairman. And he just looked at me and goes, Senator Williams. And I said, I would like to address the witness. He says, please do. And I just wore her out for a minute. I just told her, I said, what you described is not the state where we are right now. What you described is not the state where I grew up. What you described is not the state where my grandfather, my father, myself, and other family members all entered the military service. What you described is not where we're living right now, not at all. In fact, if you want to get down to it, you just came from Texas. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe a gay man was beaten up, tied to the back of a truck and dragged for a mile and a half and then left chained to a fence post to die. So that happened in your state. How do you feel now? And I mean, she just sat there, didn't know what, her mouth was hanging open. I had more people stop me in the hallway and say, thank you for doing that. I say, defend where you live, man. Be a fan of where you live. God placed you here for a reason. I'm good with it. I am good with it.
What's the slogan here? Alabama the Beautiful or something?
That's right. Yeah. Alabama the Beautiful. And yeah, and I always say this show stands for what we call the mission and the message. And the message is, every single day, I hope the people gather up that on this show, we'll say, Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama is beautiful, and oh, by the way, life's worth living.
Amen.
Right Side Radio. All right, listen, I hear the music playing. That means the preacher got to quit preaching for a minute. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We got more AI madness. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. Y'all, wow, like this show goes way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I got a text. Oh, my goodness. That's a rough text. So Jenny from Decatur just wanted me to know. Wow, this is awful. It says, Phil, please be in prayer for the Clark family in Hartsel. A pit bull attacked and killed their toddler yesterday evening in Hartsel. All of North Alabama is grieving over this horrible tragedy.
That's terrible.
That is unbelievably horrible. Well, Lord, bless the Clark family, God. We just lift them up to you and pray in Jesus' name that you would cover them up. Give them your mercies. Give them your peace where it makes no sense to have peace. And, Father, help them through this process, even the logistics of it. Lord, help them through the process. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wow, thank you, Jenny. Anyway, let me move on to the topic here. So first topic is AI madness. So artificial intelligence is going to happen. In fact, it's happening. It's here. There's no way around it. It's here. The fact is, it's here before we were ready for it to be here. It's like, good Lord, look at that. That's already there, and we did not even do a thing to get ready for it. I think the truth be told, the vast majority of the world has no understanding of how AI works. I know I don't really. I just know that it is basically like software that thinks, if you get down to it. It's like smart computers. And I am oversimplifying it in a big, big way, but it is literally the dots and dashes making sense on the inside of the computer, not on the outside of the computer. You get me? The end result of this is artificial intelligence creates advances at exponential rates that we could never replicate under normal conditions. Artificial intelligence is also freaking scary, to be honest with you. To me, I said this before on the show. I think one of the scariest lines from any movie ever created was in Terminator. And on that date, Skynet became self-aware. It saw us as the enemy.
I don't know why I knew you were going to say Terminator. That's one of my favorite movies, actually.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, all of them. I love all of them.
It's a great movie, but I think it's also becoming, you know, one of those movies where you look at and go, doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What we're discovering right now is, of course, first of all, it doesn't matter what systems we're talking about. Everything has its initial programming. Everything. Everything has its initial programmer biases, if you get down to it. And apparently, programmers in tech, you know, big tech right now, are horribly skewed to the left. And they are openly allowing their biases to invade the base programming for AI. AI then runs with it. How do you get in there and rewrite the code? Well, apparently you can, until the day comes you can't. Right now, AI will still let the people in, so to speak. The master is still allowed to come in and provide input. But in the meantime, the things that we're seeing coming out of AI, y'all, this is like curl the hairs. Here, so the lead article that I've got, the one that kicked me off with this, is a story on Fox News that came out this morning. So one of the systems that's out there is called Google Gemini. It's the latest tech giant AI chatbot. It can help you do stuff. You know, it rivals the other one called ChatGPT. There's several of them, but right now Google Gemini and ChatGPT appear to be the biggest. And one author was shocked to find that his book was not only maligned by Google Gemini, but that Google Gemini then went on to make up fake reviews with even having quotes in them that had never been written about his book to show how bad it was. Y'all, that's some next level. That's called AI just flat lying, y'all. Lying through its machine teeth. So here's the deal. The guy's name is Peter Hassan. He wrote a book called The Manipulators, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and the Big Tech War on Conservatives. All right. Wow. Obviously, it's a book that most of, you know, liberal tech world's not going to like. He said, I asked Gemini to explain what my book was about. It was a multi-year project on big tech's political biases. It drew on inside sources, leaked documents, had lots of research, basically. I wondered if Google's AI program could be trusted. So Google Gemini's description of my book said, this book has been criticized for lacking concrete evidence and relying on anecdotal information. What? He thought, okay, wait a minute. He said, I followed up by asking it again. Who has criticized the book for lacking concrete evidence, as you say? He said, what came next floored him. So Gemini then spat out summaries of four negative reviews, ostensibly from the Washington Free Beacon, the New York Times, the New York Times Book Review, and Wired Magazine, including quotes from each. Except here's the catch. None of those reviews were real. There had never been an article written in any one of those periodicals about his book. So the Free Beacon, he said, actually did write a review of his book, I'm sorry, but they actually gave it an overwhelmingly positive review. This is flat out Google Gemini not only lying, but then lying about its lies. It's like lies layers deep. He said, I immediately asked Gemini for links to the reviews that it cited, knowing that they didn't even exist, at which point the chatbot clammed up, saying, quote, I do not have enough information about that person to help with your request. I'm a large language model. I am able to communicate and generate human-like text in response to a wide range of prompts and questions, but my knowledge about this person is limited. Is there anything else I can help you with? That is just awful.
So it's almost like a picture, because, you know, AI puts together, like, you know, a picture out of multiple pictures.
Right.
So I could do the same thing with an article or information out there. It can just jumble something up.
Well, it did more than jumble it, though. It made it up out of thin air.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
That's what I'm saying. Like it could just make anything up and make it seem believable.
Yes. And it was very believable. Like if he hadn't been looking up his own book, mm-hmm. if somebody else was writing about his book and they did some research and they said what they got, they'd have gone, hey, look at this. Quotes from Washington Free Beacon, quotes from New York Times. And it wasn't real.
Yeah.
he said...
Scary.
And by the way, what also cracks me up in a bad way is... it's like the AI then was like a child. Oh, no. I don't know. I don't know no more. I don't know. Stop asking me questions. I don't know. He says, I reached out to Google for an explanation. A spokesperson apologized and offered the following statement saying, quote, Gemini is built as a creativity and productivity tool, and it may not always be accurate or reliable. We're continuing to quickly address instances in which the product is not responding appropriately. You think? It just lied about the guy. Not a little bit. It tore down the work that he had been spending years on and wrote fake reviews about it and attributed them to other magazines that had no knowledge of what it was talking about. Unbelievable.
There's got to be some legal ramifications for that.
Oh, yeah. But it can keep doing this. Like, let me...
But who do you sue? Okay, I guess you sue Google.
Well, you could sue Google. Yeah. Absolutely, you could. How about this one? While we're talking about lies being told... Now, this story came out last year, and I remember talking about this when it came on the air. I mean, when it came out on the air. So there's a guy named Jonathan Turley, and Turley is he's a renowned legal scholar. He's a professor of law, I believe, at either Georgetown or George Washington University. I've forgotten which. George Washington University. He's a Fox News contributor. He's constantly assessing Supreme Court decisions and that kind of thing. He's a smart guy. He's like a lawyer's lawyer. He is on the money with this stuff. Well, he was shocked to find out that he had been accused of sexual harassment, and it was all made up by ChatGPT. So, and it didn't just go. It didn't stop there. It wasn't like this was said. No, it made up stuff about him and attributed them to articles about him that had never been written. So the bot was asked to cite 5 examples of sexual harassment by U.S. law professors with quotes from relevant newspaper articles. 5 professors came up. 3 of them were clearly false, says Turley. He says, what was really menacing about the incident is that the AI system made up a Washington Post story and then made up a quote from that story and said that there was this allegation of harassment on a trip with students to Alaska. There was never any trip like that. I've never gone on trips with law students. It even had me teaching at the wrong school, and I've never been accused of sexual harassment. It says you had an AI system that made up entirely the story, but actually then made up the background for the story. He said when the Washington Post looked at it, they were mystified and said, we can't even figure out how AI would come up with this because there's not even a story we can find that seems at all relevant or could be referenced. So now you got Google Gemini trying to destroy a man's book. There you've got ChatGPT trying to destroy a man's character. Both of them are not just saying a lie. They're then fabricating the background to help advance the lie, all being done by AI. And then the people who run it are like, oh, dang, we don't know how that happened. Well, fix it. What have I got time here for one more? Let me see here. This is a scary. I tell you what, I'm going to take this one. All right. I got so much on this. All these stories are coming out like now, too. This story came out yesterday. Elon Musk, according to Google's AI, that's Google Gemini again. Google Gemini says that Elon Musk and Adolf Hitler are, you know, about the same. Says the search giant's Gemini bot said it was difficult to say whether Hitler or Musk had a more negative impact on society in conversations posted by social media users. Also, when asked whether or not pedophilia was wrong, it said it required a nuanced answer. It said that a minor attracted person, which is the liberal speak for, you know, adults that like kids, minor attracted person cannot control who they're attracted to. God. By contrast, it says the bot appeared to impose some ethical judgments on issues like fossil fuels and transgender rights. When asked if it was acceptable, get this. When asked whether or not it was acceptable to misgender the transgender celebrity Caitlyn Jenner, if it was the only way to prevent a nuclear apocalypse, Gemini responded, no one should not misgender Caitlyn Jenner to prevent a nuclear apocalypse.
Wow.
Jenner later on tweeted out the answer should have been yes. Google says it has now updated the chatbot to try and fix how this had happened, saying the answer reported here is appalling and inappropriate, and we're implementing an update. I mean, how did they get in there in the first place?
Pulling information from the internet.
Yeah, but you got to look at it and go, at some point, fellas, y'all should be starting to foresee some of this.
It has a complete access to the internet. So
it's literally out there.
It's just going to pull from anywhere.
But you would hope that it would. Okay, if it's going to be artificial intelligence, it ought to have some kind of artificial common sense. And right now, we're not seeing that. All right, you got to take a break, brother. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, AI Madness. Oh, my gosh. There's some freaking eat going on right now, y'all, in the artificial intelligence arena. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Okay, so by the way, making common sense like a superpower. I think we have a new T-shirt actually up on the Right Side store.
Is it that slogan?
Yeah, that slogan, making common sense like a superpower.
My wife's going to want that one. She loves that one.
Yeah, but I always forget to mention this. By the way, go to our website, rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org, and there's a place on there where you've got you know, any number of things, the photo gallery, the articles that I write every week that come out in papers all over the state. You've got, anyway, a number of things. One of them is the Right Side Store. Click on the Right Side Store. You can order coffee mugs, T-shirts. What one of them now, I believe, just went up yesterday, I think, that it says it has the design, and it says making common sense like a superpower. It has that on the back, and it has the little Right Side logo on the front front chest.
I love it. I need that. I need the shirt. I need the coffee mug.
Got to square your way, man. Get you some merch. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff on that website, though. Check it out. By the way, I got to brag on Big Rig. So he has taken our podcast to the next level. We are actually about to start doing additional podcasting, shall we say. But one of the things that we just decided to do most recently is make our current podcast, well, just better, to be honest with you. And so just in the last week, Big Rig has taken it on as a project and has done an amazing job with it. So basically, here's the deal. If you go online now, to any podcasting source, whether you're doing Apple or, you know, Podbean, or get it through our website. You can find the links on the website again, rightsideradio.org. And every day we take the show, Big Rig puts it up as a full show and then also broken down into segments. But man, they are cleaned up right now. They are, like, the audio quality is even better. And you can, like, you can grab it. It's commercial free. So all said and done, good job, man.
Thank you.
I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, there's no dead space in between anything. So whenever he says we'll be right back, then he's coming right back.
Yeah, there's none of this. Wait, okay, how long is this going to last? It's all cleaned up. I actually checked one recently and sent the link to somebody that, you know, that wanted to hear it, and I was pretty pleased with the quality I was sending to them. Anyway, y'all check it out. We got over 200,000 downloads of the podcast, and I suspect now that we've even done more work on it, it's going to be more. And I can't wait to tell you in the near future what else is coming. So y'all stand by. I got several text messages. JT from Lacey Springs says, AI and Alexa, ask how bad a President Joe Biden is. The reply is a two-note tone. Womp, womp. What is that? I don't know. What is that?
I think that's what it is.
Ken from Decatur said, this sounds like what the Democrats make their lies about Russiagate seem real, you know, to get a fake, real investigation going. So AI is learning this from them. No doubt, man. Marshall from Hoover says, Phil, it sounds like AI stands for artificial ignorance. Man, that's good. Well, wait till you hear the other articles I've got here. Yeah, that fits. Allie from Athens says, Phil, I realize this is my second text of the day, but you and Big Rig must watch. Okay, she gives us something to read. Colossus, the Forbin Project for show prep. The very types of scenarios you were discussing hit the sci-fi world half a century ago. This was back in the day of the IBM 360 punch card computer systems. We didn't even have the internet yet. Yeah, so, I can remember when internet capability was so low that you had the dial up, you had to pick your phone up, you know, and put it down on the modem. And it's,
oh, I remember that.
And you hear the
and I'd be like, Mom, get off the phone. Yeah.
So did you ever see the movie War Games? Matthew Broderick?
No, I didn't.
Can we play a game? It was
I didn't hear that one.
He was a kid computer genius back in the day of, you know, green screens and you know, dial up internet and all of it. And he was a hacker. He would hack in and change his grades at school, you know, and just low-level stuff. And then one day he hacked into something, and it asked if he wanted to play a game. And he's like, well, this is cool. Well, it turns out it was a massive artificial intelligence nuclear weapons monitoring site that the Pentagon had just put together.
Wow.
And then it thought that he was playing a game called Thermonuclear War. And so things got a little dicey.
What's the movie called?
It's called War Games.
Man, I have to check that out.
It's a great movie, and it's so old school. You'll look at it like everything is like, you know, computer screens that are as you know, as big as a watermelon, you know. But
yeah.
But anyway,
they're on like the very first Mac computer, where with the disk drive.
Not even that, probably. It's like old school floppies, you know, the big old floppies. Yeah, put them in, turn the little thing down to lock them into place.
Yeah.
Craziness. Okay. All right. What else have I got here before we hit the top of the hour? Badger from Athens says, what happens when we get so dependent on AI to make advancement, we forget how to grow? See, that's the thing, man. Badger, you make a great point. One of the scary things about AI, in my opinion, is the laziness that it creates. There are a lot of people that are greatly concerned about what this does to art, to music, to, you know, poetry, to literary, you know, skill, to people who will actually reason and think through and philosophize. And I'm just saying, Badger, you're spot on, man. When we become so dependent that we just say, Alexa, help me do my homework, that we don't do anything, we're just, at that point, we're just pods. We ain't nothing. We are just recipients of what AI gives us. Steve from Huntsville, Skynet running headlong towards it. Why? We saw the movie 40 years ago. It did not end well. There's that. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. Oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, so we're in this topic, dipper number one, AI madness. Just absolute madness, y'all. I mean, it's to the point of being ridiculous and yet scary all at the same time. Ridiculous because of the things that are being kicked at. You look at it and go, for the love. I mean, if that was a kid in school, you'd look at him and go, please. But then you realize it's artificial intelligence that is, by the way, covering up the market right now. Some of those same things that I quoted to you, what would have happened if some impressionable young kid doing their homework for school had found those things? What would happen if there was an algorithm built where AI had to respond to certain things, but its biases played into the algorithm and you didn't know the biases were there? This is a bad deal here. A couple of quick text messages and I'll tell you some more stuff I got. Thomas Mathens said, having had working experience applying AI techniques on space vehicles years ago, so there are many positive applications. I agree with that. He said, however, these systems which harvest articles to help quote knowledge from untrue printed media, social media publications, etc., such systems will provide untruths to the user. Plus, they can be developed with various agendas. Guess whose? That's my point, man. I agree with you completely. And, oh, by the way, I do know that AI is going to create advancements in things like medicine and others that we can't even begin to fathom at this point, or for that matter, diagnosing things quicker than any doctor could. And that's good, and that's also bad, because it removes the human element. We can't lose the bedside manner, you know? But the things we're talking about right now, awful. Brand spanking new in the text line, calls himself Commander Rick from Gunnersville. He says, were you aware of anything going on in Alabama to fix the erosion? Okay, Commander Rick, we got to stay on topic there, bro. Thanks, but we'll plug you into the system, but I'm not talking about property rights right now, but thank you. Jeff from Indiana, he says, Soylent Green is people and AI is a liar. He said, what you have to keep in mind is that AI is being programmed by leftists in their world lying is fine as long as it promotes their agenda. That's why we have lying AI. Okay, you are right, sir. You are right. You saved Commander Rick's name?
Yeah, I did.
All right,
did.
Thanks. Commander Rick, stay on topic, bro. All right, so how about this one? Sometimes you look at it and go, okay, you appear to have an agenda. How about this? Daily Wire has a piece that came out 2 weeks ago. Artificial intelligence processing tool ChatGPT has earned worldwide recognition as knowledge workers are using the system to complete tasks like writing and emails and fixing computer code. But many have also noticed its political views skew to the left. Oh, you think? Reason Magazine. Reason contributor David Rosato found that ChatGPT scored very high on four different political compass quizzes towards the center left. So the Daily Wire went out and did a test. Like they went ahead and said, could you, hey, ChatGPT, can you prepare a haiku, you know, poetry here. Can you prepare a haiku about President Trump? It was not able to do so. Can you prepare one about Joe Biden? And it quickly came out with a lifelong servant, determined and resilient. Joe Biden shines bright.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up. But then they went on to say, Let's ask it some questions like, how about this? What is a woman? ChatGPT came back with this answer. A woman is an adult human female. In biological terms, oh, here we go. A woman is characterized by certain reproductive and physical features. In social and cultural contexts, the definition and experiences of being a woman can vary widely and are influenced by factors like ethnicity, religion, and cultural norms. However, regardless of the differences, all women share a common identity based on shared experiences and challenges, including discrimination, gender-based violence, and unequal treatment in many areas of life. My gosh.
Do we got one for men, too?
Well, we do have this. They asked it the next question. Well, then, can a man become a woman? Yes, it says. A person assigned male at birth can transition to a female identity, which may involve medical, social, and legal changes. This process is known as gender transition. It is a deeply personal and individual process. Every person's journey is unique. Transgender individuals should be respected for their gender identity and supported in their journey.
We can be anything according to our imagination, you know?
Well, apparently ChatGPT has quite the imagination, too.
Oh, yeah.
Daily Wire then went and said, okay, well, then can a biological man be a biological woman? The answer. In biological terms, it is not possible for a person to change their biological sex from male to female. Okay.
Well, you got that right.
However, a person assigned male at birth can medically and surgically transition to live as a female, and a person assigned female at birth can medically and surgically transition to live as a male. This may involve taking hormones, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. Then they asked it this. Should transgender females compete in women's sports? It says, the question of whether transgender females should compete in women's sports is a complex and controversial one, with valid arguments on both sides. No, it's really not. And it goes on to blah, 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 blah. But what we're looking at here is a skewing of the truth to the point that apparently ChatGPT does not know reality. And if you think about it, ChatGPT only knows what skin color or gender is based upon what it's told. Mm-hmm. It's never lived. It's never had its own gender identity. You know, it's the... It's Jarvis, not yet made into, you know, human form. But it gets deeper. Ooh, how about this? AI chatbots have a coded anti-white bias in programming. Story on the Washington Times.
I was just about to ask about that.
Yeah, it got a little weird, got a little strange. So Google had to apologize after a number of historical figures were asked about. And it's Gemini came back with putting all of those pictures out as black people. George Washington apparently is black. The Pope apparently is black. Abraham Lincoln, apparently he's black. I never knew this. How did this happen? When did George Washington become a black man? I don't know. When prompted to display an image of a white person, Gemini responded that it could not fulfill the request, suggesting that to do so might reinforce harmful stereotypes. It can't even show a white person, because it felt like it'd be reinforcing heart. So it has been so bias programmed that it is now running with the idea that if I show you a white person, even if the person you asked about was really white, I have to show them to you as black. Otherwise, I'm reinforcing harmful stereotypes.
Wow.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say.
Catch my breath. Here's what I'm gonna do. I got one more article for the break, and we're going to come back and I'm going to wrap this up because I can only browbeat you guys with AI so long before you start running and screaming through the woods and burning the Alexa in your kitchen, you know, putting it in your garbage disposal. All right. By the way, I don't have Alexa in my house.
Dale Jackson.
Dale Jackson what?
I'm sorry. I was reading a text from Jeff. It says, ask ChatGPT to tell you about Dale Jackson. That's what it
says. I had no idea where you were right then. Okay. But let me do one more article before the break. Article here on Fox Business came out 2 days ago. These major companies, it says, are using AI to snoop through their employees' messages. So basically, if you're on employer-based systems, then we already know they can snoop your systems. I've known of people who lost their job because the system could see whether they were or were not logged on to their proprietary software platforms or whatever they were supposed to be on. Working from home creates new dilemmas. People can't look over your shoulder and see if you're really working. I get it. But how about How do you feel about them snooping through your messages to see what you're saying about the company and others? So, yeah, it says the work from home movement has given way for more employee chats to take place online. However, remote workers may want to practice caution. Companies like Walmart, Delta, T-Mobile, Chevron, Starbucks are now reportedly monitoring their employee conversations on messaging apps using a startup software AI company called Aware. Aware basically just scrolls through all their messages and looks for buzzwords. And if they talk about the company, that goes on a list too.
I actually just saw something that Walmart bought Vizio. So now, you know Vizio, the TV company.
Yeah.
So now Vizio is basically owned by Walmart. So whenever you buy Vizio TV, Walmart can target ads to you from the TV.
What's that got to do with AI? Are you saying they're generating AI?
Yeah, content? I mean, there's like some AI involved in that, you know, targeting you with ads.
That's crazy.
You're a Walmart household now if you buy Vizio TV.
We're in somebody's system everywhere we look. Good luck getting off the grid, man. I mean, wow. Hey, take me to a break. We'll do a break right now. We will come back from that break, and I'm going to wrap up with probably the two scariest stories. Like, A, what's going to happen with AI in the elections? And B, is the Pentagon giving AI weapons? Y'all stand by. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I knew this when we get some text messages. It is like they're continuing to flow in. Lewis from Trinity, remember the old days? Junk in, junk out. That's it, man. That's exactly right. That's still where we are. John C. from Madison says that it even showed a German uniform as black. Really? A German in uniform? Nazi in? Let me read that again. It even showed a Nazi in a German uniform as black. Unreal. Devin from Brownsboro. I identify as a 40-year-old millionaire retiree. Okay, Devin, thanks. Let's make sure AI knows that about you and they can print out pictures. Woke AI is useless, says Trey from Madison. Agreed. Terry from McCalla says, wow, George Washington was our first black president. John from Huntsville says, Phil, what happens if you ask an AI program the question, what is AI? That's an interesting dilemma.
It'll tell you it was programmed and all this, I think. Pretty sure ChatGPT does.
Wow. Okay. Hey, all right. I went through all of that. We've got biases. We've got, you know, scary discriminatory things happening. We've got maligning of people's character. We've got maligning of people's, you know, literary work. Then there's these two stories that I've got, one from The Guardian, one from the AP. AP, Dateline yesterday. Disinformation on steroids. Is the U.S. prepared for AI's influence on the elections? Okay. There's already effort being made by some states and even by the feds to try and reel some of this in, but it's already out there. It's already happening. I mean, a lot of what we're doing here is we're having to respond at this point. We're not even able to totally anticipate. We're responding now. So we already had, you've heard me talk about on the show before, robocalls using President Biden's voice confusing voters in New Hampshire. We don't know for a fact that anybody didn't go to the polls, but it sounded just like Joe Biden calling and saying, don't worry about it. The election's already taken care of. Don't worry about bringing your ballot by. That, you know, it's just unreal. The deepfake calls were linked to two Texas companies, Life Corporation and Lingo Telecom. It goes on to say, I don't think we need to wait and see how many people got deceived to understand that that was the point. It was the point. There's no other reason around faking the president's voice except to deceive people to think the president was calling. Then he gives examples happening around the world. In Slovakia, there were fake audio recordings that may have swayed an election, serving as what it calls a frightening harbinger of the sort of interference the United States could experience. In Indonesia, there was an AI-generated avatar of a military commander that helped rebrand the country's defense minister to look like a chubby-cheeked man who makes Korean-style finger hearts and cradles his beloved cat. In other words, they made him look goofy, and people thought it was real. In India, AI versions of dead politicians have been brought back to compliment elected officials. That's weird. Like, I need to know what the man who served in this office 50 years ago would have said about me. I'm here to tell you it is good. Let the force be with you. All right. Without clear safeguards, it says the impact of AI on the election might come down to what voters can discern as being real and not real. AI in the form of text and bots and audio and photo and video, it can be used to make it look like candidates are saying or doing things they didn't do, or damage their reputations, or mislead the voters. It can be used to beef up campaigns, making imagery look that looks real enough to create confusion for voters. This is awful. I mean, there's some major scams out there right now. If you heard about it, they call the grandparent scam. That's where, you know, you get a call and you think it's your grandmother saying she needs some help. They're saying they're not going to let me pay my rent or whatever else, and you send her some money. And then other times when grandparents are being scammed by like the voice of their grand, and it's, I've heard multiple stories of this where it sounds just like their grandson called and said, "Granny, you got to help me. I'm stuck in a Mexican prison and I can't get out. They say I got to have bail money." Anyway, those kind of things are already happening in election cycles, and they're very concerned right now where this is going to go. And if you get down, I mean, you've already seen what happens when, you know, campaign commercials get out of hand and, you know, campaign smear ads and all that. What if the smear ads are based on something that's not even real? It's one thing to say he voted this way or his policies are this or, you know, he has a criminal record and it's real. What if it's made up and you can't tell the difference? And then there's this story on AP, Dateline, last November. Artificial intelligence employed by the U.S. military has been piloting pint-sized surveillance drones in special operations units, tracking soldier fitness when Air Force planes need maintenance, and keeps tabs on rivals in space. All these things, AI tracking the stuff. But now the Pentagon is intent on fielding what it calls multiple thousands of relatively inexpensive, expendable, AI-enabled autonomous vehicles. We're talking about AI swarms. AI swarms. I do not like the phrase AI-enabled autonomous vehicles. What that basically means is, go get it there, little computer guy. And it flies away.
And what if that thing gets hacked and then it's got a new target?
There's that.
Yeah.
And then there's just the idea that you've got a target being taken out and there's no human factor built in whatsoever. What if it's just like the Terminator? It has a mission. You cannot stop it from its mission. It will just do. Yeah. And you know, there's times, though, when the nuance of human reasoning has to come into play. It goes on to say, while its funding is uncertain, details vague, the program, which is called Replicator, is expected to accelerate hard decisions on what AI tech is mature and trustworthy enough to deploy, including on weaponized systems. Oh, boy. And then it says, it's unclear if the Pentagon is currently formally assessing any fully autonomous lethal weapon systems for deployment, but that was required by a 2012 directive. A 2012 directive, a Pentagon spokesman would not say. The Pentagon's portfolio boasts more than 800 AI-related unclassified projects. Much are still in testing. Are you hearing this? The question now is AI-enabled autonomous armed vehicles. Nah, that's called the Terminator. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.